Thank you, Fred and choir. If you look inside your worship program, you'll find your notes today. This is the 26th Christmas series that I've had the privilege of sharing at Shadow Hills. And when I began to look at this, I thought, man, what do? We've talked about the characters of Christmas. We've talked about the wise men, the shepherds, Joseph and Mary, and the angels. And we've talked about Bethlehem. We've talked about Nazareth. And all of these things that we've looked at over the many years of Christmas, the one thing that I had never really tackled was examining the names of Jesus that kind of come out of the Christmas story. Now, if you look into the information sources, I found a couple of sources that actually said in the Bible there are 700 different designations for Jesus in the Bible. I found a devotional book that has a different name for Jesus in for every day of the year in this devotional book. I think probably you could be safe to say that there are about 200 common names and titles of Jesus in the Bible. I obviously can't look at all of those, but I picked out four names that we're going to use between now and Christmas Sunday. Today, we're going to look at the name Jesus. We're also going to look at the name Emmanuel, Nazarene, and Wonderful. Those are going to be the four things that we focus on. And when you think about the names that Jesus is giving, one of the questions you ask is, why does he have so many names? Why are there so many designations for Jesus in the Bible? I think the easiest answer is, not one single name sums up the entire person of Jesus. There's no way that you can define and clarify who Jesus is and all that he has come to do in just one name. And we recognize that a name is very, very important. Your name, your moniker, you live with it your whole life. You're going to be referred to by that name your whole life. It makes a difference. It's important. People respond to you by your name. Do you know that if growing up there was a school bully who picked on you and was mean to you, that probably even today when you meet someone who has that same name, even if you've never met them before, you spend an extra amount of time evaluating that person to see if they're like the hateful person you remember. Names are important. When you begin to look and you begin to study the names of Jesus that are in the Scripture, it is amazing. I could take 4 years and just cover the 200 common names of the Lord Jesus. But when you think of the most common name, it would be those five letters, Jesus. Do you know that the name of Jesus is mentioned in the very first verse of the New Testament? Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 mentions the name Jesus. Are you aware that the very last verse of the last chapter in the book of Revelation contains the name Jesus? From its beginning to the end, the New Testament revolves around Jesus. And when I think about this name that is so special, this name that is used almost 1,000 times in the New Testament alone, the name Jesus that was predicted in the Old Testament, the name Jesus that was presented in the New Testament, the name Jesus that is proclaimed in the epistles, that is praised in the book of Revelation. There is nothing similar to the name of Jesus. And so I want to take his name, Jesus, at this Christmas time and just share with you some very simple thoughts about what I would suggest to you first is a very simple name. The name Jesus is not hard to pronounce. It's made up of five letters. It fits every tongue. It fits every language because it's a simple name. In America, there are two names that we ordinarily would not use for our children. We do not use the name Judas because it's too horrible, and we do not use the name Jesus because it's too wonderful. And yet in other cultures around the world, the name Jesus is a very common name. In fact, in Bible times, when Jesus was born, that name, Jesus, was a common name. It was a name that spoke of national pride. It was a name that brought honor to the family and to the child who shares those five letters. When you think about how Jesus identified with simple people, it's not surprising that he had a simple name. When you think about the fact that Jesus was born into a very humble, very simple family, Mary and Joseph, that Jesus grew up in a very simple little town, Nazareth, that Jesus grew up among simple, hard-working people in the carpenter shop. When you think about the fact that the first people who came to see Jesus were simple shepherds, I think the greatest compliment maybe that Jesus ever received is when the Bible says, common people heard him gladly. He could relate. He was not one to move among the kings and the princes. Jesus lived among simple, ordinary folks. And so when I look at this, I think it's a simple name, but I would suggest to you there is majesty in that simplicity. When you just listen to what the Bible says in the book of Luke, in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, in the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. You are to give him the name Jesus. If you remember the angel, when the angel in Matthew spoke to Joseph in the dream, the angel said, you, Joseph, are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. Have you stopped to think about the fact that the name of Jesus was brought down from heaven? It was not a name given to him by his mom and dad just out of their favorite baby book. The name Jesus originated in the gates of glory by the Heavenly Father because the Heavenly Father is the only one who understood why Jesus had come into the world. It was the Heavenly Father who understood why Jesus came to earth. Heaven gave him the name. The Bible says in Isaiah, for unto us a child is born, and to us a son is given. I think about our children who have been born, your little babies that have been born, my babies that have been born. My boys that were born had never existed before. They entered this world and they came into existence. But you stop and think about when Jesus was born. When Jesus was born, it doesn't mean that he was just now coming into existence, because Jesus had always existed. The Bible says in John, the first chapter, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word was in the beginning with God. You see, when Jesus was born, it was not the beginning of his existence. He continued his existence in this world. He came from heaven to do what only he could do. You see, I can't save myself. I can't get myself into heaven. And so heaven had to send Jesus, the good news of salvation, the way of salvation. And Jesus came down into this world so that heaven might come down to you and me, because we can't go up to heaven on our own. He shall be called Jesus. You know, I think of a great man came into this room today. If the President of the United States came into this room today, most of us would stand. We would stand because we would honor the man and the position. We would honor him. But if Jesus came into this room today, we would kneel We would bow down and worship him because he is Jesus. He is the author and the captain of salvation. So there is this majesty in the name of Jesus. But not only is there majesty, there's mystery in this name. Because the Bible says when the angel Gabriel came to Mary, she was a virgin. The Bible says that when the angel announced that Jesus was going to be born, in Luke chapter 1, verse 35, it says, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you." So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Do you see that? When Jesus was born, he was referred to as the Holy One. Let me ask you something. When your child was born, did you call them the Holy One? Not after about the third night up, you didn't. And you didn't call your child the Holy One when they threw their first temper tantrum in Toys R Us. And you didn't call your child the Holy One when they learned to tell little white lies about things they had broken or places they had been. But Jesus, when he is born, not only is there majesty, there's mystery, because he is called the Holy One. He was born of a virgin. Now, that's a biological impossibility, that a virgin would give birth to a child. We know that when babies are born, there's a father and there's a mother. And yet the Bible says when Jesus was born, he was born of the Virgin Mary. When you were born, when I was born, it was brought about by the union of a man and a woman, a male and a female. But when Jesus was born, the male was taken out of the picture altogether. He was taken out of the equation, and the womb of Mary was touched by the Holy Spirit himself. When you look at Jesus, when you recognize that Mary came back from that mysterious world of childbirth, she was holding in her arms the only baby who had ever been born that had an earthly mother but no earthly father. She was holding a baby that had a heavenly father but no heavenly mother. That's a mystery. I don't understand the virgin birth, but I don't have to understand it to believe in it. And the Bible tells me that this Jesus, with this majestic name and this mysterious name, that it was God who was born. I mean, think about it. 2,000 years ago, when Jesus was born of the Virgin Mary, it was God made manifest in the flesh. That means God was born. That's what the Bible teaches. In 1 Timothy, if you open your listening notes, it says, "Beyond all question, the mystery of godliness is great. He," that is Jesus, "appeared in a body, was vindicated by the Spirit, was seen by the angels. He was preached among the nations, was believed on in the world, was taken up into glory." Now here is the astounding truth of that birth. At the birth of Jesus, what we try to preach at Christmas time is that when Jesus was born, the God who put the stars in their place, the God who created infinite space, came down. He was restricted to the narrow room of a womb. He confined himself to a single cell, and he became a man. That's what Christmas is all about. And they named him Jesus. It's a very simple name. But I would suggest to you also it's a very special name. You see, among the Jewish people, the name Jesus was special because of its Old Testament connection. If you go to the Old Testament and you look at the book of Joshua, the Old Testament name Joshua in the Hebrew is the same as the New Testament name Jesus in the Greek. Now, when you go into the Old Testament, you recognize that Joshua is a well-respected name. It was a name that meant the Lord is salvation. If you go into the Old Testament, you would discover there are two people, prominent people, named Joshua. One of them, the hero, he's the most famous. It was the hero Joshua in the Old Testament that led the children of Israel out of the wilderness into the promised land. Now we know that Joshua was the successor of Moses. We know that Joshua was the protege. He was the assistant to Moses. Moses was not allowed to lead the children of Israel into the promised land. Why is that? Now, I know the story. I know that the Bible says that because Moses disobeyed and Moses was angry and he struck the rock, that he didn't go into the wilderness. But there's another reason, and it's a symbolical reason. You see, Moses is equated with the law. Who went up on Mount Sinai to receive the Ten Commandments, the law? Well, that was Moses. Who was it that presented the law of God to the children of Israel? That was Moses. But Moses was not allowed to take the children of Israel into the promised land. Why? Because you and I need a picture. You can't get to the promised land based on the law. If you let the promised land in the Old Testament mean heaven for you and me, Moses, who represents the law, could not get the children of Israel into the promised land any more than you and I can get into heaven by obeying the Ten Commandments. You see, heaven is a perfect place. The only people who can go to heaven are perfect people. But it's the law that shows me I'm not perfect. The law says, you shall not steal, but I've stolen. The law says, you shall not lie, but I've lied. The law says, you shall not covet, but I've coveted. Now, when you take that, it's the law that shows me I can't get into the promised land. Just like Moses could not lead the children of Israel into the promised land, the law does not let me get into heaven. Who led the children of Israel into the promised land? Joshua. Who leads me into heaven? Jesus. You see, he's the hero. Joshua's the one who was able to lead them in to possess the land. And the very fact that Jesus is in my life means that one of these days, he's going to come and he's going to take me into the promised land. He's going to take me into heaven. Why? Because Jesus is my Joshua. He's the one that can take me into the promised land. He's the one that can call me into the glory land. You see, Jesus is the gem of the glory world. Jesus is the pearl of paradise. And one of these days, if you know him as Savior, the hero Jesus is going to take you into glory. But there's another man in the Old Testament by the name of Joshua, and you have to go over to the book of Zechariah to find him. The Bible tells us that he was a high priest. In fact, in Zechariah chapter 3, verse 1, the Bible says, "Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right side to accuse him." Now, what was the purpose of the priest in the Old Testament? The priest in the Old Testament had two jobs. He was to represent the people to God. He's the one that made sacrifice. He's the one that went to God and said, "God, the people have sinned. God, the people are sorry. We're making a sacrifice for the sin." It was the priest who represented the people to God. But then the priest also represented God to the people. He came out to the people and he said, "God is displeased. God knows you were disobedient. God says there's judgment coming." You see, the high priest represented the people to God and God to the people. And his name was Joshua, or Jesus. What does the Bible say in the book of Hebrews? The Bible says in Hebrews that Jesus is my high priest. He's not only Joshua my helper, he is Joshua my hero. My hero is going to get me into heaven, but my helper is going to help me live life on this earth. You know, I think one of the greatest demonstrations of Jesus as helper is when Jesus met blind Bartimaeus. The Bible says he is going down to Jericho and there was a blind man sitting on the side of the road. He couldn't work. He couldn't fend for himself. He was a beggar. He was asking for change. He was asking for food, for clothing, for shelter. He was a beggar. And the Bible says one day the noise of the crowd began to rise and blind Bartimaeus said, "What is it? What is it?" And somebody said, "Shh, it's Jesus." And what did Bartimaeus do? Why, he began to shout like a wild man. He began to say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And the Bible says that Jesus came to blind Bartimaeus and gave him his sight back. He was his helper. He enabled him to live and sustain himself in this world. You want a picture of Jesus as hero? Jesus is on the cross. And there above his head on the cross is nailed a sign. What does that sign say? His name is Jesus. He's the King of the Jews. And that thief on the cross looked at that sign and said, "His name is Jesus. He must be something special." And that thief looked at Jesus and said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And Jesus looked at that thief and became his hero when he said, "Today you'll be with me in paradise." You see, I need Jesus. I need Joshua in both senses. I need him as my hero to get me in heaven, but I need him as my helper to walk with me on this earth. I need him to sustain me and see me through. We preach in the name of Jesus. We baptize in the name of Jesus. We declare there's power in the name of Jesus. When I'm tempted, I call on the name of Jesus. When I'm sick, I ask him to heal me. When I need to learn, I ask him to teach me. It is the name of Jesus that soothes the sorrow. He heals the wounds. He drives away the fears. In the times of need, when we have burdens on our heart and problems in our life, when our heart is heavy and we don't know where to turn, we call on the name of Jesus. I thought it'd be interesting just to look up some of these names and find out, when I need this, can I call on Jesus? I'm just going to go through some of the alphabet and tell you the names that I found in the scripture about Jesus. The Bible says in the book of John, he's our advocate. In Revelation, he's the Almighty, the Alpha and the Omega. He is the Amen. In 1 John, he is the atoning sacrifice for our sins. In Acts, he is the author of life. In Hebrews, he is the author and perfecter of our faith. In Hebrews, he's the author of salvation. In Revelation, he's the beginning and the end. In 1 Timothy, he's the blessed and only ruler. The Bible says he is the bread of God, the bread of life, and the bridegroom. It tells us in Acts that he is the capstone. He is the chief cornerstone. He is the chief shepherd. He is Christ, the creator. The Bible says he is the deliverer. He is eternal life. And then it tells us that he is the faithful and true witness, the first and the last, the firstborn from the dead. He is the firstborn over all creation. The Bible says in John that he is the gate. He is the good shepherd. He's the great high priest. In Ephesians, it says he is the head of the church. He is heir of all things. He's the Holy One, the hope of glory. In John, it says he is the I am. In Corinthians, he is the image of God. And in Matthew, he is Emmanuel. In Acts, he is the judgment. In Timothy, he is King Eternal, King of Israel, King of the Jews, King of Kings, King of the ages. He is the Lamb of God. He is life. He is the light of the world. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is the living one. The Bible says that he is the living stone. He is the Lord. He is the Lord of all, the Lord of glory, the Lord of lords. The Bible says he is the master, the mediator, the mighty God, and the morning star. He is the offspring of David, the only begotten Son of God. He's our holiness. He's our husband. He's our peace, our protection, our redemption, and our righteousness. The Bible says he is the power of God, the precious cornerstone, the prophet, the rabbi, the resurrection and the life, the rock and the root of David. It says in the Bible that he is the ruler of God's creation, the ruler of the kings of the earth. He is the son of David, the son of God, and the son of man. He is the stone that the builders rejected. He's the teacher. He's the true bread. He's the true light, the true vine. He is the truth. The Bible says he is the way, he is the wisdom of God, he is the word of God. I'm telling you, he's the helper. He's the one that brings it all together when life is coming apart. It's a simple name, but oh, folks, you got to understand it is a special name. And then the Bible says it's a saving name. It's a saving name. Jesus means the Lord is salvation. It says in Matthew 1, and you are to give him the name Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. I looked at those last three words and I thought, there's my condition, from their sins. You see, the Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Not one of us is what God made us to be. We're all sinners. That's our condition. And the consequence of our condition, the wages of sin is death. You see, that's my great problem. That's the question I grapple with. What am I going to do with my sin? I'm guilty. I need a hero that will help me to heaven. Do you have an answer for the question, what are you going to do with your sin? You see, it is my mess that ties me to the Christmas story. It is not my goodness, it is my badness that needs Christmas. It is not my merit, it is my misery that needs Christmas. It is not my spiritual riches, it is my spiritual rags. It's my condition. The whole message of Christmas is that I'm a mess and I need a Savior. I look at this condition in 1 Timothy. It says here is a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. That's my condition. That's why 1 John says no one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. That's my condition. But then I look at his cause. You see, he shall save his people from their sins. We sing about from the cradle to the cross. If you don't tie the cradle of Bethlehem to the cross of Calvary, you miss the point of Christmas, because the birth of Jesus is all about his death on the cross. I think about the fickle crowd in Jesus' day. It tells us that when Jesus entered into Jerusalem, they used their voices to cry, Hosanna. They waved the palm branches and they honored Jesus. But the time came when the world got tired of his truth. And they began to yell, crucify him, crucify him. Because the name Jesus became hated by the world. This name that has been pronounced more than any name in the history of heaven is hated by the world. You want to have problems in this world? You stand up and you say that Jesus is the only way to heaven. Let me tell you something. I don't have a football team. You ask me who my team is, it's whoever's playing, and I'm probably going to pull for the underdog. But I watch this kid Tebow, and I listen to his testimony. And then I watch people make a mockery of him. And I watch them as they make fun of him and as they tell him he ought to keep his mouth shut about the things of God. Let me tell you something with all of the humbleness of my heart. If that kid was a Muslim, there wouldn't anybody open their mouth about it. They'd keep their mouth shut, and if they whispered about his faith, they'd do it in a reverent respect for Muhammad. But because he honors the name Jesus, a name that the world has come to hate, a name that the world has come to separate themselves from, it's okay to make fun of his faith. Let me tell you something, folks. God owns this world. And God decides how sinners get to heaven. And God says we're going to go to heaven because of a hero named Joshua. It is Jesus who will get us into the gates of glory. That's why the Bible says salvation is found in no one else. For there is no other name under heaven given by men whereby we must be saved. It is only in the name of Jesus. It may take Alexander the Great to establish an empire. And it might take Napoleon to change the nations. It might take a Newton to bring about an intellectual revolution. And it might take an Edison to bring about a new world of gadgets and inventions. But there is only one name that brings salvation, and it is the name of Jesus. I have seen people by that name of Jesus have their life turned around. That's why the Bible says in the book of Philippians, therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. The name of Jesus. You look at the name of Jesus, earth is astounded by it. The name of Jesus, hell howls at it. The name of Jesus, heaven celebrates it. The name of Jesus, eternity reveals it. The question is, have you called on that name? You see, there's this last verse here. It simply says, Mary's thoughts. This is Mary, the mother of Jesus. She says, my spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior. My spirit has rejoiced in God, my Savior, the mother of the baby, has received him as her Savior. It doesn't get any better. I know the Bible says he is the Savior of the world, but I also know personally I can say he is my hero who will get me into heaven. He is my helper who will help me live on earth. Trusting him is your choice. Stand with me and let's pray together.